Welcome, my friends. This is episode 27 in our bi-weekly series of Saving Christianity, coming to you every other Tuesday from Christian Family Online. I'm your host, John Shields, and I'm here in the studio with my co-host, Owen Allen, and our intrepid producer, Shannon Wolf. We have a rare and an exciting treat for you today in our show. We have two special guests, to say the least, here in the studio. They are Owen's wife, Joanna Allen, and my wife, Kit Shields. And this is the first time that they've been in the studio with us, so it's a rare treat indeed. Now, the four of us here are here for a very special purpose today. And as you know, we talk a lot about miracles in these episodes. And among those miracles are the supernatural fruit of the Spirit and the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. And we discuss the fruit and the gifts frequently in these shows, and we've even done full episodes on each of them. But here's another kind of supernatural miracle that we don't talk about as often as we should. So we're devoting a full episode to them today. And those are the supernatural experiences of the Spirit. Those aren't fruit, and they aren't gifts. They're expressions of God's power in our physical environment. Now, let me explain with an example. The supernatural peace that God gives us is a fruit of the Spirit. And a supernatural dream that God gives us is a gift of the Spirit. But if an angel appears to us, that's an experience of the Holy Spirit. And so, experience of the Spirit include things like miraculous answers to prayer, miraculous rescues from danger, and miraculous supplying of people and things that we need. Now, since this is our final episode of the year, and that's hard to believe, we decided to dedicate it to experiences of the Spirit. And this is episode 27, and our title is The Miracle Stories 2021. The Miracle Stories 2021. The four of us are going to tell you some of the wonderful experiences of the Spirit that we've had or are either our relatives or friends have had. And again, the stories you're about to hear are true. They happened to us or to Christians that we know. But first, let's bring in our co-host, a very familiar to you, Owen Allen. And after that, we'll introduce our two guests. Welcome, Owen, to episode 27.
Well, thank you, John. This is going to be a unique episode. You know, John, I love to tell, I love to hear true stories of the wonderful experiences of the Spirit that God has given not only to me, but to other Christians that I know. So I'm ginned up and ready to start.
Hey, that sounds good. Okay, now let's introduce our two guests. This is very exciting. First, we have Owen's wife, an absolute jewel, and her name is Joanna Allen. Welcome to the show, Joanna.
Thanks, John. I'm so pleased to be here today, and I look forward to sharing the joy of experiencing miracles that have happened in my life.
Well, great. We can't wait to hear that. And then I want to introduce my wife, Kit. Kit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. It's certainly a pleasure to be here with you guys in the studio today and share some stories about miracles we've experienced.
Great. And everyone's introduced now, so let's get started. And why don't we start, Owen, let's start with you. Why don't you tell us a true story of a miracle that happened to you or that happened to another Christian person that you know personally?
Well, thank you, John. You know, John, this is very important. We're talking about miracles, and I've heard many, many people say that miracles don't happen today, that miracles ended in the first century. But there's no evidence of that, and there's no Bible verse that says that. Instead, as we often say on this podcast, Christianity is an experience that we're meant to experience. Yeah. And what I like about this episode is we're telling true stories that happened to us in this life the same way that they happened to Christians in the first century. Now, for example, most people have heard the story of the three Hebrew men in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the third chapter of the book of Daniel. The king hated them and wanted to punish them because they wouldn't worship him. So he threw them into a roaring furnace. And in fact, the furnace was so hot that the soldiers trying to throw them in died from the heat. I love that. Mm-hmm. But after being thrown in, everybody watching could see them walking around inside the fire unharmed. Mm-hmm. So the king called them out, set them free, and declared that their God was the one true God. But here's the fact that I want our friends to remember. Verse 27 in that story says as follows, and I quote, "The hair of their heads wasn't singed, their robe wasn't scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them." Now, as we often say, John, in this podcast, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means that things that happened in ancient times still happen exactly the same way today. And I have a story that proves it. Some years ago, I met a Christian man named Norman Williams at a business conference, and we had dinner that night. And over dinner, Norm told me that he was a survivor of the worst plane crash in history. And his story proves that miracles are the same in every century. In other words, what God did in ancient times, he still does today. Here's what happened to Norm. He was scheduled to fly to the Canary Islands for a cruise, and as I said, he was a Christian, so as was his habit, before leaving, he knelt with his mother on the living room floor. They put their hands on the Bible and prayed for safety. And then he went to the airport and boarded his Pan American 747 for the trip. The rest is history, because later, while his plane was taxiing down the runway at Tenerife Airport in the Canary Islands, another 747 ran into them, and believe it or not, both planes exploded and were destroyed. Out of 643 people on the planes, only 60 escaped, and Norm was one of them. He told me that night that he was sitting in his seat relaxing when suddenly the whole cabin exploded and burning jet fuel splashed all over the people in the seats. The next thing he knew, he was standing up in the aisle. He doesn't remember releasing his seatbelt or standing up. All the people around him were screaming and dying. But check this out. Mm-hmm. He was completely calm, peaceful, and felt no fear. Instead, he raised his arms and began praising God. Mm. And instantly, the Holy Spirit started reminding him of a scripture, Isaiah 43:2, which says, "When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." Mm. So Norm began to shout as loud as he could. He said, "I stand on your word, Lord. I stand on your word." Then he looked up, and there was a hole in the roof of the cabin that had been torn by the other plane. He could see blue sky through it, and immediately he felt a strong urge to reach up for this hole, but it was 10 feet above him, and he was a heavy man and was out of shape. So he told me he doesn't know what happened next. But the next thing he knew, he had been lifted out of this hole, was sitting on top of the plane, if you can imagine. So he slid off one side, landed on a wing. He walked down the wing and jumped off. Now, this was a 30-foot drop to the ground. But he landed safely in the grass, and his only injuries were a small broken bone in one foot and some cuts on his hand. So he got up from the grass and he walked to the terminal building. A news reporter happened to be there and snapped his picture, and later that appeared in newspapers and magazines all over the world. But Norm returned to America. and resumed his everyday life. But here's the part of the story that I like best. Norm was the only survivor of the crash who had no burns. And in fact, he said this to me. The hair on his head wasn't singed. His clothes weren't scorched. And his clothes had no smell of fire on them. And I wonder if that sounds familiar. It should, because that's exactly what happened to the three Hebrew men as they came out of the furnace 2,000 years ago. You know, Norm told me, John, that the suit he wore in the crash is still hanging in his closet. He took it to the cleaners, of course, but it never smelled of fire or jet fuel, and he still wore it to that day.
Yeah.
So, John, not only was that dinner with Norm one of the most inspiring things I've ever done, but it also proves that God's miracles did not stop in the first century, and that Christians can experience the same miracles today they experienced in the first century. And I want to tell our friends in podcast land, I'm very, very glad of that.
For sure. That's it makes me, Owen, as I'm listening to that story, just declare what a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah.
And it's so meaningful to see God at work in stories like this.
Amen.
We need to hear them, more of them. Well, Joanna, I know firsthand because we've talked many, many times over the years, and you've got something that is always been a blessing to me. And I've actually told this story myself after having heard you tell it. It's about a personal experience you had as a child.
Thanks again, John. My life has been a life filled with miracles and music. So many memories of my mother and my grandmother, Joanna. They lived a life of miracles. When I was about 3 or 4 years old, when I began to hear beautiful music, I didn't have a piano. We couldn't afford one. So I used the old kitchen table and pretended it was my piano. Mm. I could hear the music. It was so beautiful. So I would use my music on that old kitchen table. The house would be so quiet, but you see, I could hear the music. Sometimes my father would say, "Joanna, I love your music. Please play for me, and I'll study my Bible for Sunday services." My father was a Quaker preacher at the Friends Church in Saxbahal, North Carolina. We would drive from Greensboro each Sunday morning to Saxbahal for my father to preach both morning and evening services. I just loved those days, going to Miss Woody's for Sunday dinner, singing in the afternoon, a wonderful, yummy supper with lots of folks. It was a wonderful day, I remember well. And John, it was in those days, as a little girl, I began my journey of playing the piano, old hymns, at the Saxbahal Friends Church piano. Those are precious memories to me. Yeah. Old songs, precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul.
I love that.
But finally, our Sunday in Saxbahal was over, and it was time to pack up and start home for Greensboro. Well, the old car registered empty. It would not start. Dad's small salary was paid on Sunday evening after service, and in those days, all gas stations were closed on Sunday evenings. Even today, after all the passing years, I can still hear my mother say, "Clyde, you drive. Joanna, you get in the back seat and go to sleep, and I'm going to talk to the Lord. He will take us home safely." And yes, on an empty tank, no gas, we made it home just fine. We got home safely. The next morning, the old car wouldn't start. Miracles? Yeah, I believe in miracles. The scripture says, "He will go before us and make the crooked way straight." Yeah, my life was full of miracles. My mother, oh, how I remember her today. I'll see her again someday.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John.
Mm. Thank you, Jody. I just love that story. Mm-hmm. Even as a child, how the Lord impressed upon you the power of God and His love for you, and the way He demonstrated that these many years later, obviously, that miracle and many others have occurred in your life. Thank you, Jody, for sharing that with us. Oh, and I'm going to just take a minute now after listening to you and to Joanna tell your story, and I just want to share a story that actually I was thinking about it, and it's a little bit different story. Even my wife, Kit, sitting here doesn't even know that I was going to share this. And I think it is a story that most of us don't realize. We're talking about miracles. And miracles, by definition, are a supernatural intervention into the natural realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell this story by saying that I was in India in a village, in a small rural village. And it was hot, and I was walking from one destination to another with a couple of men, another American man, and then an Indian young man in his mid-20s. And we were walking from one place to another on this dusty road in this town, and we were talking about the things of God and what God was doing and what we were doing there in India. And after we had walked on a while, this young Indian man said something to me about, "Well, I don't know that I've ever seen a miracle, John. I don't really know about that." And I said to him, I said, "Listen, the greatest miracle that you will ever experience is the miracle of your salvation, of when God comes to us and revives us and saves us from our sins and indwells us with Himself and sets us on a life that we've been talking about, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, supernatural experiences. When our eyes are opened, we move out of the darkness into the light, that literally you see everything different. You see yourself, you see the world, you see other people. Everything is through a different filter of a divine intervention of God." And so, miracles, you're listening to a miracle.
Yeah.
All of us in this room are a miracle. And we see people all the time that are just walking around miracles. People say, "Well, if I could just see a miracle, if I could just see a miracle." Well, if you know Christ, you are a miracle.
Look in the mirror.
And that person can be a miracle themselves. They can experience that miracle. And I know what I'm talking about because I experienced that miracle in 1983, and nothing has ever been the same in my life since then. So sharing my story today and the story of millions of other people, something I don't know that we necessarily put it in the slot of a miracle.
It should.
But to me, it is the greatest miracle. In fact, it's the only eternal miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else here on earth, if you're a blind man is healed or a lame person is healed, and that's a wonderful thing. And God does that, and He still does it. But that will end one day on this earth. But the miracle of salvation will stretch beyond this life. In fact,
Amen.
It's infinite and it's unending. Now, to me, that I don't even have words anymore,
no.
Owen,
no.
To when I think about that and talk about that.
Glory.
So that's God's doing.
Amen.
It's God's doing, and we honor Him. So, Kit, I don't say this casually. I'm not searching for words. And those who are listening to this podcast may not fully understand it. Maybe I can tell this story on another episode one day. But before you tell your story, I can just say to those who are listening today, you are the personification of another miracle in my life.
Yes.
And that I wouldn't take anything for. So, honey, with that, share a story with us.
Yes. Well, thank you, John. I agree completely. You are a miracle in my life as well. And I'm excited to share today on this episode about miracles, because I'm going to share a story about a miracle that happened in India that really opened my eyes and reminded me that we need to be looking for miracles, that God, He's in the miracle business. And
yes.
Sometimes I think in the U.S. we forget that He is there in the small moments and the big moments, and He is still performing miracles. But we were in India a couple of years ago, and we work with a vocational school in India with ladies who are learning a trade to become seamstress or hairstyling. And it helps them be able to take care of themselves and not be dependent on others, but gives them a good job and they can earn a good wage. And we had spent 2 days with them, and we had come to know the teacher, and her name was Mary. And she was just a delightful young lady. Well, Mary had been married for about 8 years and never had been able to have children. They wanted children and prayed for children and no children. So before we left, she asked the ladies that were there if we would pray for her to, you know, for the Lord to give her a baby. And so we did, and we took that prayer serious, and we gathered around her and we prayed for her. And then we left. We said our goodbyes and said goodbye to the ladies, and we headed home, and in a few months, we received notification that she was pregnant with child. And she told everyone about it, that she, you know, that these Americans came and we prayed for her and she was pregnant. And the blessing was that, of course, that she had the baby. But then a year later, we go back to the school, and there is Mary with her precious little baby girl, who is just a delight. So we just, it just kind of reminded me that, you know, God is still in the miracle business, and we need to remember that and pray and seek His guidance and look for those miracles to share. And they're meant to share with people, not just keep them inside.
Yeah, and Kit, you remember it was just in living color when we saw her standing there with that child.
With that baby, that's exactly right.
In our next trip to India, and we all knew that that child was in her arms as a result of God's intervention and healing her barren womb. And so that's an exciting thing. Thank you for sharing that. So, Owen, I'm gonna just come back to you now, and let's just talk about another story that you've got.
Well, as I think about it, John, you know, these true stories just prove God's love for us and prove His tender, loving care, if you want to call it that. But also, they show something else, and that is God's power is His, has nothing to do with us. As we've said several times, the gifts are for all Christians. All Christians are indwelled by the Spirit. He's the source of the gifts, not us.
Yes.
So we even said that even infant Christians, and this is an interesting thing, Christians even in a bad mood, anything other kind of Christian, doesn't matter. You don't have to be Spirit-filled. It's wonderful if you are. But think about it. If God limited miracles to Spirit-filled Christians or Christians in a good mood, He wouldn't have much done on earth. And I want to tell a true story. Maybe it's a confession. I don't know. But it proves how weak we Christians are and how great and forgiving God is. You know, John, some years ago, it was about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I was in my office. I was putting some papers in my briefcase. It had been a long, hard day, and I was really looking forward to getting home, taking off my suit and relaxing. And just as I snapped my briefcase, the phone rang. I answered it, and I heard the voice of a man who was a member of our small group. I'll call him Robert. And he had a strange tone I'd never heard before. And he said, could I come immediately to his house for prayer? So I'm sitting there looking at my briefcase, and here's my confession. Because my first thought was, oh no, Robert, why now? I'm tired. I want to go home.
Yeah.
So I started making excuses. I said, it's late, and it's been a hard day, and let's pray another time. But he was insistent, and he was evasive, and he kept repeating that I needed to come immediately and pray. So I agreed and got in my car and started driving. I'll never forget it. As I drove, I could feel those first clues that the Spirit was going to do something. I felt that unmistakable, wonderful feeling of being Spirit-filled, and my hands began to tingle on the steering wheel, a feeling I've never had before or since. But I arrived at Robert's front door and reached up to ring the doorbell. But before I could touch the button, the door popped open, and one of his young children stood there, a little red-haired girl. I'll never forget her. And she put her index finger to her lips, and the age-old signal, it means, be quiet. She beckoned me in and beckoned me to follow her, and she tiptoed down the hall. The house was completely silent. No TV, radio. The usual group of noisy children were nowhere to be seen. So this little red-haired girl led me to the door of the master bedroom, gestured for me to go in, and she walked away. So I stepped into the room and was shocked by what I saw. Robert was kneeling beside the bed, with a look of anguish on his face and tears streaming down his cheeks. And his wife, I'll call her Elaine, was lying on the bed under a sheet. And she was pale and glassy-eyed and looked to me to be unconscious. But the strangest part was there was a large bulge in the sheet where her stomach should be. She looked pregnant. You just finished hearing a miracle story about that. But since I saw her every week in our small group, I knew that she wasn't. So I'm standing there stunned, trying to understand this incredible scene. And Robert says to me in a pitiful voice, we have to do something. We have to pray. Help me pray. I mean, this was like a dream or the Twilight Zone. But I'm standing at the foot of the bed, and I could see Lane's feet under the sheet. So I knelt there at the foot of the bed, and through the sheet, I took one of her feet in each hand. This was the only way I could conveniently reach her, the way the room was structured. And so I did that, and I began to pray. And I don't remember, John, what I prayed. It wasn't anything special. I prayed for God's will in her life and for his perfect healing of what was wrong and so on and so on. But after a few minutes, Elaine spoke for the first time. And she said in a childlike tone of wonder, like a little child, she said, oh, I feel waves breaking over me like I'm lying on the beach. Oh, I feel wonderful waves. So I opened my eyes, still holding her feet, and saw an amazing sight. The bulge in the sheet where her stomach should be was slowly decreasing, like air going out of a balloon. And in a few seconds, her body was normal. Robert was staring with a mixture of joy and amazement on his face. But then, John, I had a strong impression to ask her an odd question. I'm still kneeling at the bed, now holding her feet. I said, Elaine, is there something you'd like to do? And she said, yes, I'd like to sit up. So I let go of her feet, and I said, well, then why don't you? And she did, and she was smiling and looked normal. And then I had another strong impression. I said, Elaine, isn't there something else you'd like to do? And she said, yes, I feel like dancing. And I didn't realize that she'd been a dancer in her youth. And what's funny, John, that answer didn't bother me or surprise me in any way. And I said, well, then why don't you? And she threw back the sheet, stood up in her nightgown, and began to twirl around the room in beautiful dance steps. And Robert and I stood up, too, and began to laugh and praise God. And all the children rushed in and joined the commotion. And we were all crying and laughing and praising God. And, you know, John, the end of that story is that Elaine was completely healed. Mm. This happened some years ago, and she's still healed today. But I told the two of them, standing there in the bedroom, I said, now you need to go to your doctor in the morning and get this confirmed. And they did, and he did. And I found out later why she was home in bed. Their insurance had lapsed, and in those days, hospitals wouldn't admit people who didn't have insurance. And so that's why she was home, and they were desperate, and they were praying. And John, to end the story, I never found out what was wrong with her. Mm-hmm. They never said, and I never asked. And you know what? It didn't matter. Mm-hmm. None of us cared. Just seeing the Holy Spirit heal her was enough. And you know, you're always happy, you're always pleased, you're always fulfilled. When the Holy Spirit acts, you don't even think about asking questions. Mm-hmm. So after a time of hugging, crying, rejoicing, I went home with one of the sweetest memories of God's healing power I've ever had. Mm. I still get emotional about it. Mm. God is so good.
Yeah. Wow. Owen, that is, thank you for sharing that incredible story. And I don't know how much more of this I can take. This is great. Joanna, share something with us. I know you have another story.
Thanks, John. As I shared a bit earlier, my mother was a true miracle. She lived a daily life of prayer and scripture. In the mid-1970s, Dr. Emmett Lupton told my mother she had cancer and probably in the last stages. He admitted her as his patient to Cone Hospital in Greensboro, North Carolina. At that time in the mid-70s, my mother and I belonged to a small group, a very close and dedicated group of Christian believers. We began to pray for Mother. She did not get any better. The day before surgery, a member of our small group felt that the Lord was leading him to bring Mother to our group one last time. Of course, with a doctor's permission. Our dear friend, Arlen Wood, went to Cone Hospital and carefully brought Mother for prayer and sharing. After many prayers, laying on of hands, and a time of praise and worship, Arlen took Mother back to Cone Hospital. Surgery was scheduled for the next day. I went to the office for a couple hours that morning. My dear friend, Brenda Wood, and I worked together, and she was going to go with me to the hospital to be with Mother that day. Sitting at my desk, quite suddenly the phone rang, and Mother said, Joanna, I'm on my way into surgery now. You and Brenda come as soon as you can. So Brenda and I immediately left for the hospital. Dr. Lupton had said surgery would last for several hours, so we settled in with a cup of coffee. In about 30 minutes, Dr. Lupton walked out of the waiting room calling my name. Are you there? He was still dressed in his surgical clothes and gloves. You see, I remember well, because as we walked toward him, he held up both hands, those wonderful big surgical hands, and he said, I have just seen the touch of the Master's hands. Tears were in his eyes, I remember. And he said again, this time more quietly, I've just seen the touch of the Master's hands. Your mother has no cancer. Yesterday, she was near death. This morning, she's completely normal. The entire waiting room of Cone Hospital became very quiet. Everyone was looking in amazement at one of Greensboro's most respected surgeons as he said again, but this time very quietly, I have seen the touch of the Master's hands this morning. Mother went home the next day and lived another 20 years. She went on lay witness missions with Arlen. She was almost 90 when she went to heaven. Yes, I believe in miracles. I've seen one set free. Miraculous, the change in one. Changed because of Calvary.
Yes, wow.
Thanks so much, John, Kit, Owen, Shannon, for the privilege of sharing today. Praises and glory to our great sovereign God.
Yes, sovereign God. Thank you, Joanna. Wow, what a beautiful story. And I had the privilege of knowing your mother in
those
20 years. And so, I remember her well. Thank you for that story.
Thank you.
Well, we're getting near the end of our episode today, and I just want to close with one story that includes Kit and myself. We both were part of this and know that the truth of this story. We had dear friends in our congregation, and we had arrived at home one evening after running some errands after work, and my phone rang. And we exchanged the normal pleasantries, and the gentleman on the other end, his name was Sam. He said to me, "John, I've got some bad news." And I listened intently, and he said, "My wife Judy has, as you know, has been having some headaches, et cetera, and we took her to the doctor today. And she's diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, and they have admitted her into the hospital." And I hung up. Before I hung up, I said, "We're on our way." So my wife and I jumped in the car. I made a few quick calls, and several members of our local congregation met us at the hospital. All of us were somewhat in shock, knowing this beautiful lady and her life and this really horrible diagnosis. And so we visited with them and mostly just kind of stood around and nobody said anything. And then it came time for us all to leave, and we gathered around her bed and we held hands and we began to pray over her. Now the ending of this prayer wasn't quite like Joanna's with her mother, but nevertheless, it was just as miraculous. And that is that when we prayed, Judy, lying there in the bed with this diagnosis, testified that we later found out that she said that two angels appeared to her at the foot of her bed, and she could see them as clearly as she could us.
Yeah.
And they both actually told her their name.
Glory.
And she could describe those angels in detail. And she, her condition, after treatment, continued to worsen. But even in the midst of all of that, she gave testimony that any time she became fearful or overly burdened, that those angels would appear to her and strengthen her and talk to her and encourage her by their very presence all the way to the end of her life. And even though she wasn't healed of cancer and she went to heaven, God, and only God knows why he didn't do that, but what he did do was give her those angels.
Yes.
I was standing beside her bed when she breathed her last breath with her husband, and I couldn't help but think, and I know he did too, that those two angels, one on one arm and one on the other,
that's right,
escorted her into the very presence of God.
Yes, indeed.
And I have that story has meant so much to obviously their family, but to our church family and anyone else. And now you listening there on the podcast episode today, I know that you are rejoicing in that story as well. And I'm going to do something that a little unscripted today before I turn it over to Owen for closing. And that as we're going to agree right here in our studio for you.
Yes.
I don't know what miracle you may need in your life, mm-hmm. but we're going to pray right now as you're listening to this. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you right now for every single person that is or will ever listen to this podcast today, that the realities of these stories will become reality in their own life, that they will experience you in your mighty power, saving power, delivering power, healing power, provisional power, whatever the case might be, whatever the need may be. Lord, we ask you to come and meet and show yourself strong in their life. May it be for their good and for your glory.
Yeah.
And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Owen.
Well, John, you know, I think there are two principles or two points that I hope all of our friends worldwide will get from these stories. Number one, Christianity is not just a neat idea or a cute theory. It's designed by God to be a real life experience in this life on this earth. Mm-hmm. And second, miracles happen to Christians today exactly the same way that they happen to Christians in the first century. And I think that's important. Mm. We all need to know that and remember that. Mm-hmm. But you know, John and Kit and Joanna, the big clock on the wall is telling us our time is up. But before we go, to all of our friends listening in podcast land, you need to know that the same kinds of stories that we've talked about can and will happen to you too. Mm-hmm. God's experiences of the Spirit are as much a part of everyday Christian life as the fruit and the gifts. And it's our prayer that each of you listening, wherever you are, will have the same types of experience and miracles today, tomorrow, and forever.
And our friends, I just want to remind you that this is episode 27. And that a script and a recording of it are on our website at www.goscpod.com. That's GOSCPOD.com.
Indeedy. And again, all of us here in the studio wish for each of you out in podcast land a life filled with the kinds of miracles we're talking about. And in the meantime, while God's doing all of that for you, this is Owen Allen.
And this is John Shields speaking for all four of us here in the studio and for our producer, Shannon Wolf.
And all of us now are saying to you together, may the God of our fathers bless you and keep you and guide you and protect you until we meet again.